the earth. So I'm going to wait till you all come on, but I want to say a big thank you one more time for being my wonderful partner and friend. Usually I read some names, say hello. I have so much information today. I want to get right into the word. So, precious Lord, we thank you. What you're going to show us today, I pray, Lord, that you will reveal much to your people. You'll speak to them clearly, mightily, Lord. Let them be prepared for the coming days, glorious coming days. I give you praise. And God's people said, amen and amen. Well, listen, thank you again for being with me. So many of you are with me every single day. We've developed a beautiful family together. We've been doing this now for nearly a year, I guess. March is when we began last year to do dailies, and it's been incredible. So, angels. Now, I've been telling you that I believe there's coming a new visitation on earth. Now, remember, there are five divisions of angels. And I want to talk about that for just a few moments. Because the visitation that's coming is coming from what we call common angels. You know, the Bible says many have seen angels unaware. Well, these are angels that look very human. So, but let's talk about all the different groups of angels. Number one, the first are the seraphs. Now, the seraphims mentioned in Isaiah 6 are the ones who declare the glory of God. They're the ones who cried out, holy, holy, holy. And remember, it says that these angels, with two they flew, and with two they covered themselves. Well, flying in the Bible always speaks of service, and covering yourself always speaks of worship. So it's quite amazing that these angels covered themselves, meaning they are worship angels too. Now, we'll talk about that in just a moment. These are the seraphs who declare the glory of God. They're the ones who cry, holy, holy, holy. And they cry, holy, 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 because of revelation about God's nature. Now, the Bible tells us, we already looked at that. I think it'll be great to see it again. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, because, you know, there's so much in the Bible about angels. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So everything angels know about the Lord, they know by watching how he deals with us. And every time someone is saved, someone is healed, they cry holy. It's the result of what God is doing in the lives of people that causes the angels to cry holy continually. So, every time God heals someone, holy. Every time someone is saved, holy. Every time God answers prayer, same thing. Angels are amazing beings. Now, number two, the cherubs. The cherubs have four wings and they have four faces each. Not the seraphs, but the cherubs. The cherubs are the ones who protect the glory of God. We see them in Ezekiel, we see them in Genesis, and other parts of the Bible. Now, think about an angel with the face of a man and a lion and an ox eagle. So man, lion on the right, ox, eagle on the left. And here they are incredible beings that have four wings covered with eyes. And they have four hands under these wings. And they are led by the Holy Spirit. And they are the angels that protected our salvation in the Garden of Eden. Now maybe I caught some of you by surprise. Do you remember when Adam was in Eden, and God said, okay, you can eat of all the trees except one. And so he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and fell into sin. Had he eaten of the tree of life, he would have lived forever as a sinner. And all of us would have been born as sinners with no way to really be saved. So God sent the archangels So Adam would not touch the tree of life. So you and I would be saved later. Because had he touched the tree of life, salvation would have never happened. Because he would have lived forever in sin. Think about that one. He would not have died. So, these archangels are incredible creatures that we read about in the Bible. Now, Lucifer at one time was also a cherub. Lucifer was the only angel with two offices. He was an archangel and a cherub at the same time. It says, you're the cherub that covers. He also used to protect the glory of God. In fact, he was the worship leader in heaven, because when you read Ezekiel, it talks about him covered with pipes, you know, musical pipes. So every time Lucifer talked, it was like a whole orchestra talking as he led in worship in glory. But then, you know, he was given planet Earth to rule over it, and he became jealous of God. The first sin mentioned in the Bible is jealousy, when Lucifer became jealous of the Lord and invaded heaven and was thrown out of heaven. So the Lord Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And that's what destroyed the earth. That's why in Genesis 1, we see creation in Genesis 1:1 and destruction in verse 2. Because it says in verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. In Isaiah, it says God creates nothing in vain. And verse 2 of Genesis 1 says, and the earth became, the Hebrew word there is hayah. Many translated it as was. That's the problem. If you believe that the word is was from the Hebrew, then the earth is only 6,000 years old, and there's no way. So it was not the word was, it was became, and the earth became without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep. What caused it to become? The fall of Lucifer. And when he fell, the earth was destroyed, and everything on it were destroyed, including dinosaurs. That's how they were destroyed, by the way. Now, third, you have, and I'll talk about this some other time about the pre-Adamic. I know this is quite fascinating. You know, why is there oil today in the Arab world, Middle East? Because oil comes from vegetation, yet it's all desert. Meaning, that's where the Garden of Eden was for many, many years. In fact, Eden existed during Lucifer's reign on earth for billions of years. So when I say Garden of Eden, I don't just mean the garden that Adam protected. Because it says about Lucifer, you walked in the Eden of God. You walked up and down the stones of fire. So Lucifer, today Satan, at one time lived in Eden, which was the entire Middle East, and then God had to restore it and give it to Adam. Anyways, I know this is quite intriguing, but we're not going to talk about that right now, maybe some other time. But the archangels now are the third in line of the angelic, and these are the angels of war, the leading angels. That's why they're called archangels. Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. Today, Lucifer is the enemy of our soul. He's no longer in that position. He still retains the power he had. In fact, he has more power today than he had then, because he regained Adam's office too. Remember when he tempted the woman? I know I'm saying a whole lot, but I want you all to catch on. When he tempted Eve, he wanted his position back. Well, he did not just get his position back. He got more than his position back, because Adam had more authority than Lucifer had ever been given. So when he stole the office from Adam, he went right back to the heavenlies again. And now he's the prince and part of the air and so on. That's another subject that is, we can't even touch on that now. But anyways, so think about him being archangel and being cherub at the same time, the only angel that had that position. But he lost all that. The fourth division of angels are called living creatures. The living creatures mentioned in Revelation 4 are the angels that said, come and see, and judgment fell on the earth. So they're the angels of judgment. They are similar to the seraphs and cherubs. Now, our main subject is with common angels. Common angels, the ones that protect us, deliver us, scatter our enemies, judge the wicked, guide the saints, strengthen the saints. And I give you the whole list on this teaching. They assist in answer to prayer. They are the ones who came in and set the apostles free from prison when they had gone to prison for preaching the gospel. They are the ones that meet us and take us to heaven and so on in Matthew and Luke. Now, these angels also prepare for revival. So I believe that's why there's coming a tremendous angelic visitation to the world, to the church, really. In Hebrews 1, verse 14, it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" I'm talking now about the fifth division. These are angels that do not have wings. The one who have wings are the seraph and the cherubs and so on, but not the common angels. That's why they've been seen as young men and not even recognized to be angels. Remember Manoah and Samson's mother and Gideon and on, I can go on, of people who didn't recognize until much later. Now, these are the angels mentioned also in Hebrews chapter 12, which I gave you a few days ago, but it'll be good to look at it again. And verse 22, you need to get ready. There's coming an amazing visitation, I'm telling you. They watch us all the time, very active in our affairs. It says in Hebrews 12, 22, "You're come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." So they are very involved in your life and mine, and we are very involved in theirs. Now, I know I just said something that someone said, what did he say? Look at Psalm 103. "Do you know that we, by our praise and by our confession, can strengthen these angels, these fifth division of the angels, or we can weaken them?" Literally. So in Psalm 103:20, it says, "Bless the Lord ye his angels," meaning the common angels, "that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts," angels, "you ministers of his," angels, "that do his pleasure." That's incredible. But the Bible says that they are strengthened, they excel in strength, and do his commandments as they hearken to the voice of his word. Well, how are they listening to his word? Through you, through me. They can't hear his word any other way. So when I declare the scriptures, angels are strengthened to do God's bidding for me and for you. So, Hebrews says clearly that they are ministering spirits. Hebrews 1:14 and Hebrews 12:22 says, we come to the company of angels who are always around us and watching us. It says the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivers them in the Psalms, Psalm 34. But now we see not only are they involved in our life, we're involved in their life too. We're involved in what they do by the things we say, by the things we proclaim when we preach the gospel or when we confess the word of God. We literally release strength into them through the word of God and through our praise. You know, in Psalm 91, we all have read that beautiful psalm and we've claimed its promises over and over. But the Bible says in verse 11, I'm sure you know it, but I want to say, you know, show you something. "He shall give his angels charge over thee," meaning Jesus, "to keep thee," Jesus, "in all your ways. They shall bear thee," Jesus, "up in their hands, lest thou dash your foot against a stone." Now, this is talking about the Lord. Even the devil knew that when he tempted him. So one time, Paul Crouch and I are talking, and I said, Psalm 91 has nothing to do with us. Psalm 91 is about the Lord. He that dwelleth is the Messiah. And he didn't like that. I don't know when I said that. I said, Paul, the promises were made to him, not to us. Well, he says, where do we fit in? I said, when we are in him, all the promises become ours. Yeah. Because it says the promises in him are yea and amen, not in us. So God made promises even to Abraham and to his seed meaning Messiah, Jesus. And now when you and I are in the Lord, then all the promises of Abraham become ours too. So only in Jesus can we receive the promises, including the promise of angelic protection. Angelic protection doesn't belong to anyone outside the faith. Come on. Job 1:6, 1 Timothy 5:21 talks about something I think so incredible. They report to God about what's happening in our lives and what's happening on earth. Remember in Job 1:6, they came before the Lord to give reports. And you see them also in the book of Kings. And Paul the Apostle in 1 Timothy 5:21 clearly talks about that you know, these amazing angels are watching us. He says in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 21, they're very involved in our lives. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without preferring one before the other, doing nothing by partiality. So when you and I minister the word, they are there watching. They are there listening. When we live for the Lord. And they're highly interested in our salvation. 1 Peter 1:12, it says that so clearly. And remember what I just gave you from Ephesians 3. In fact, you know what? I think we should go back very quickly because I didn't show you verse 9. So let's go back to Ephesians. I tell you, this is so incredible that God would love us so much to actually send the angels to take care of us. It says to make all men see, verse 9, Ephesians 3, what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church God's wisdom. How amazing that all of us who are in Jesus are the classroom angels attend. Think about that. Every one of you saints, angels are watching you to learn about the Lord. And that's what causes them to worship. That's what causes them to bow before Him. Because they do worship. That is their main function, is worshiping the Lord. Now, let me say this. You know, they don't worship like you and I worship. Because they have no relationship with Him. Like they can't say, I love you, Lord. They can't sing, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. They can't do that. Lord, I love you and I worship. They cannot do that. They worship Him by bowing, by revering Him, by knowing His glory and power, and they bow in reverence. And so Nehemiah talks about that in chapter 9, because he said that is their main, that's what really they want. They want to worship God, and every time they see how God deals with us, they cry holy. So it says in verse 6, Thou, even Thou, Lord, art God alone. Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And Thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven, meaning angels, worshipeth Thee. In other words, present tense, worshipeth Thee. The angels worship God. And in Hebrews 1, you all know that beautiful scripture about worshiping the Lord. Angels worship the Lord. For it says, and again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, Hebrews 1:6, He saith, let all the angels of God worship Him. That's, by the way, from Deuteronomy, where it declares that. So their activities, you know, angels are mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. Their activities is throughout the God's Word, Old and New Testament. They are the ones who prepare you and me for the visitations coming. Think about preparing Moses at the burning bush, or Gideon, when the angel said, you mighty man of valor, or Manoah, or Mary, or Elizabeth, or Joseph, or the shepherds in Bethlehem, or the apostles before the ascension, and I should say after the ascension, when they came and said, and let's just look at it, Acts 1, this is one of my favorites, because we're about to see that fulfillment of what the angels spoke in Acts 1 and verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly into toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." But think about their involvement in the book of Acts is mighty. Such incredible involvement. Acts 5:19, for example, and 20, you all, I'm sure, know that, but it's about to happen again, saints. That's what I'm telling you. It says, "The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 'Go stay and preach the gospel.'" The day will come when angels will set people free in many countries who are in prisons right now. I pray for these sweet pastors all the time. There are many of them today who are in prisons in many, many parts of the world for preaching the gospel and for just having a church meeting or even having a Bible. And I believe the angels of the Lord are going to set them free before the coming of the Lord to say, "Go out and preach the gospel." I really, really believe that. Think about Acts 8. How the angels were involved in the salvation of a whole nation when one angel said to Philip, I'm reading Acts 8, verse 26. Listen to this. And then the Holy Spirit took over after that. And the angel of the Lord speak to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem towards Gaza." And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, was reading Isaiah. The angel knew that was going on, and then the Holy Spirit said, "Get near that chariot." And he opened the whole, the heart of the eunuch was opened, and the Lord opened that mighty door for a whole nation that got saved after that, because history says salvation came to Ethiopia as a result of that one act of that angel. What if that angel didn't say that to Philip? So they cannot preach the gospel, but they assist in the gospel. It was an angel who came to Cornelius and said, "Go get Peter." Had it not been so, that the Gentiles would not have been saved. Think about the angels' amazing doings, activities in bringing salvation to the nations. So he said, "Go get Peter," because he couldn't preach the gospel. And so in verse 3 it says, of Acts 10, he saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming to him and saying unto Cornelius, "Go send for Peter." And here is where he is. He even gave him the address. He's staying with one, Simon the Tanner. Go. And you all know that amazing story. What an amazing thing that they were so involved in the lives of the apostles. Or you look at Acts 12, and look, this is all about to happen. So here is Peter in prison, and the angel of God showed up, and a light shines in prison. And chains fall off, and gates open up by themselves. It's going to happen again. Take my word for it. They have power over gates, and over lights, and over chains, and whatever. Angels are extremely powerful. The presence of the angel released Peter from the chains. The presence of the angel unlocked the doors. The presence of the angel brought a deep sleep on the soldiers. Think about all that happened that night. And Peter the whole time thinking he was seeing some vision. But it was a real living experience. And then how we marvel at when the angel killed Herod for not giving God glory. They have that power. It says immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, Herod. So get ready for the day when angels will kill the enemies of the gospel. They're going to set saints free, and many will die by the hands of the angels. And Acts 27:23, not only did the angel come and strengthen Paul on that ship when it was wrecked, but God said, "You tell Paul, all 200 men will be saved. I'm giving him all of them." And he did. Not only were they saved physically, Later, I believe they were all saved, like souls saved, because God said, I'm also giving you those with you. Well, he didn't say giving you just so they can be saved and make it to shore. So, many have seen angels unaware, and get ready. The day is coming, I promise you. According to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, it says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Wow. It's coming again, people. And they're going to appear suddenly. Could happen in the next few weeks, next few months. And you will not recognize them at first as angels. But then when they disappear, then you'll know. Father, I give you praise for what's coming. Lord, you've done it before. You did it in the 70s. And I was a witness to it. Now, Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord, in these days, that your people will be strengthened greatly, Lord. And true revival will come mightily to the church in the mighty and glorious name, Jesus. Now, Lord, meet every need, answer every prayer. Yes, Lord, meet that need in their life, whether it be spiritual, emotional, physical, or financial, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I was reading the comments from yesterday, and I'll tell you, 98% needed prayer. Over 98% were saying, pray for this situation. So God will do it, because we pray and we agree, and God do the rest. Now it's time to give to the Lord's work. Give, it shall be given unto you. I know you know it, but it's good to be reminded. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give to your bosom. Every time you give, you receive. Every time you sow seed, you literally trigger the harvest. Think about the amazing thing about the life in that seed, the power in that seed, explosive power in the seed. You know, I was with my wife. I told you that maybe story a few times. Maybe some of you hadn't heard me. I was with my wife one day, Suzanne, went to visit her sister, and I saw grass growing through the cement. We were walking on the walkway, and right through the cement, grass was growing. I said, oh, Sue, look at all the grass growing through this cement on the walkway. She said, yeah, it doesn't look nice. I want to tell my sister to clean it. I said, no, look at the grass growing through the cement. She said, yeah, it looks terrible. I said, that's not the point. I said, look at the grass. She said, what are you trying to say? I said, the seed is more powerful than the cement. There's seed underneath that's breaking through. And the Lord spoke like this to me. He said, no satanic cement will ever stop the harvest. So don't look for the harvest. It's looking for you. And all you have to do, sow seed. Like the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6, from verse 1 to verse 6. Sow your seed in the morning. Sow your seed in the evening, because you don't know which one will work, which one will produce more, which one will produce less. So we have to be continual givers. We don't know when a seed will just explode with a mighty harvest for us. I'm telling you, I've seen this work in my life many times. Now, let's believe God it's going to happen in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, I agree with them. It's going to happen in their life too, Lord. They will see an explosion of blessings, an invasion of blessings. You said these blessings will overtake you. Let those blessings overtake them now. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. Amen. What it happens is we obey, so go ahead and sow your seed. Benihin Ministries, you can do it on the platform you're watching me on, or go to benihin.org, or simply text BHM 4577. A great program tomorrow. Don't miss it. It's a surprise, okay? So tomorrow, Thursday, we're going to really surprise you and bless you. Okay, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.